Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it is Social Geek Radio Night, and it's Deb Evans coming to you live from Stagecoach, Texas, and Jack Munson from, where are you tonight, Jack?
I am in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia tonight.
Ooh, and you got to see one of my franchising friends, Any Lab Test Now, Clarissa Bradstock.
Yeah, absolutely. So your ears were burning, and I was hearing all kinds of fun things that you guys did at Google a couple of weeks ago at the GIFA conference. So.
That's right. How we went wild at Google. Google gone wild. But, you know, I can – so what's the hashtag we should be using today saying, I am Google?
I am Google. Or,
I am Google.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever.
Bring our Google home. I don't know.
Yeah. So, well, we decided to just have fun tonight and use this as our anniversary special, since last week celebrated 4 years that Social Geek Radio went live in May of 2010. Started out with BJ Emerson, who is on the line with us, and another co-host, AK Stout, who's also with us tonight. So, hello there, co-host. Social Geek Radio.
Howdy.
Hey.
Oh, so Jack, should we stump them with trivia questions, find out what they've been doing, or how should we roll tonight?
Yeah, let's start there. I'm dying to hear some sort of early days and how this whole thing got started, but I got to tell you, BJ, the thing I hear most of all at IFA and FranTech this year and other events, everybody keeps asking me, oh, have you talked to BJ lately? What's BJ up to? So let's throw everybody a bone and give us an update on what you're doing these days and some of the projects you're working on.
Well, thanks. I'm honored for you to have me back on the show. Thanks for asking. But great to join you guys. Let me answer your first question really quick. How did Deb and I get started on this? So let me tell you how the conversation went. So Deb and I kept getting interviewed on different radio shows, right? And we basically said, those radio shows are lame. Let's do our own. And then we started. That's the story.
End of story.
Boy, nobody tells a story like BJ, let me just say. Those other guys are lame. Let's do our own.
So now AK, then we went from BJ being a co-host to AK being a co-host. So why don't you share with us and the audience, how did that come about?
So Deb called me one day and said, do you want to be my co-host and you want? And I said, sure.
Because BJ's lame.
And
my
that's
other co-host
how,
is lame. I need a new one.
So that's how Social Geek Radio started. More or less, yes. After speaking on franchising and social media, BJ and I decided we could do a little bit more with this and take it out into the digital space and podcasting, as it's now known as, which everybody's trying to get into this world that we live in.
Yeah, it's amazing. At FranTech this year, the panel that I was moderating, I thought we were going to be talking about Facebook for 90% of the time, but the questions, and we got into really good discussion with Paul Segretto and some of the other people on the panel about podcasting, and that's what everyone was asking me about afterwards, was, you know, wow, how are you guys doing that? You know, what kind of results are you getting? And I don't know. I think you guys were definitely early on in the podcast as a digital marketing tool. The other question I had was going back to May of 2010, which in digital marketing terms was about 20 years ago, right? what was your first topic or guest on that very first episode?
Okay, BJ.
Let me go back and look at the hashtag here. I was just looking at them earlier, and it actually goes back to the second episode. I don't think we started using the hashtag until the second episode, or somebody did. But
maybe the hashtag
sure
wasn't invented yet by the second episode.
Yeah, okay. Yep. The first episode, I'm sure it was me and Deb talking about something to do with franchising and social media, I'm sure.
Yeah, and if I recall, we had discussions about, we were starting with books that we read on social media and how to use social media. So Jeffrey Haislett had just written a book on the use of social media. So we talked about him, John Maxwell, and there was a few others that you had been reading that we had topic discussion. And soon after, Dave Kirpin was Likeable, was one of our first guests.
Yep. Yeah, I remember we were doing book reviews early on. And then
we didn't know what we were doing, really.
It was fun. Fun stuff.
I just thought.
As opposed to now?
Correct. Uh-huh. So funny. All right. So we did the Geek It Out segment. So, BJ, you started the Geek It Out segment, and then AK took it over. I have a question for the two of you. Which of the Geek It Out links, because God, I don't even know how many there are, and if you guys know, kudos to you. Was there any particular Geek It Out link that you shared that you liked the most?
I mean, there was. Well, I guess I'll answer first, I guess. So, I mean, I think in terms of, you know, what are tools and utilities that I still use today, right? I mean, some of the things are kind of flashy, they're kind of fun. You know, it's really cool, but you really use it on a regular basis. So, you know, like, I don't know if we ever talked, I think we talked about Animoto one time. That's one that I still use. Wordle.net was an early one that I probably will still look at once in a while. But, you know, that's how I think in terms of, you know, are they still useful today is the question.
So, AK, you shared.
Yeah, I kind of took the same route when I was trying to come up with mine. And the one I use every single day is PicMonkey for putting text and editing photos for things I'm sharing on all the different social media sites. So that's constantly open in my browser. And then I think the other one that I've gotten a lot of use of from a blogging standpoint and doing things for my clients and running contests on social media sites would have to be Rafflecopter from our friend Greg Goodson.
It's cool.
Now I just put another one in the chat there. This one was a lot of fun. I want to say I got this from their name. Anyway, so you put in a subject there and it comes up with a funny title for your post or headline or whatever. So that's a fun one.
Oh, cool.
Content idea generator.
Yeah, the generator. I like that one. Then there was the Google Fight one that you shared. And I think it's still, I just logged it in. It's still around, which that was just a lot of fun. Now, which of the apps, because both of you had shared loads of apps that we used. Any favorites?
Postino, is that one that with the postcard thing?
There was Postcard on the Run. Postino, there was a couple of postcard ones.
Postino was the one that I had shared that I liked that I still use. Paper camera, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kay, any favorites that you have?
Well, of course, I love Charity Miles.
Charity Miles, yeah.
And congratulations to Gene on his Webby Award.
Yep, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the other one that I use pretty much every time I go out to eat would be food spotting. So I go to see if people have taken pictures of the meals that they've ordered at the restaurant. So it's like a picture menu, so it makes it easier for the decision-making process. And I try to take pictures of all – I'm one of those people who take pictures of all of my food so I can upload it to food spotting and help other diners out. So I use that very regularly.
Very cool. So, Jack, what else do we need to find out from these two former co-hosts of Social Geek Radio?
Well, let's jump forward to May of 2014 and find out what fun stuff you guys are doing and projects you're working on and anything you can tell us about that.
Go ahead, AK. You first.
Okay, what am I working on? Gosh.
Well, you're no longer saying it's social, so give us your new company name.
Oh, that's true. Yes, I switched company names, still AK, but the new company name is Web Conjunction, so you can find me on all the social media channels underneath of the name Web Conjunction, all run together, no space, and I'm doing a lot more training than I used to do, which is a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing that. So I do Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, a whole two-day course on like intro to social media. I have a really fun new client I'm working with called Collar for Collar that they sell products where half the proceeds are donated to organizations helping dogs, and I'm a huge dog lover. So that's right up my alley, and I'm thoroughly enjoying doing all of their social media and looking at cute pictures of puppies all day. So that's a lot of fun, and otherwise just keeping busy with my other social media clients that I'm helping out.
Tell us about your clients in the training you do. Is it typically employees within a company, or is it small business owners, or who are you typically training, and what who do you like to train?
It's really anybody. I've kind of flown around the country, and I've done whole groups of employees within organizations. I've also done, I do small group and one-on-one trainings where it's industry specific. I really enjoy working with anybody. It helps if they sort of use social media, at least Facebook personally a little bit. But I'm, of course, not opposed to helping out somebody who's completely a newbie. But really, yeah, anybody who's going to be using social media for their job, I love to help out. And whether it's, you know, a CEO or somebody who's just kind of fresh out of college that got a social media gig. But I help people in all industries. I was at Fort Benning, Georgia Army Base. Helping the curriculum writers use social media internally just to help the soldiers take classes to, you know, people who are within the social media doing it for some Pepsi products. So kind of the whole gamut, and it's really, really fun.
Cool. What's the best way for somebody to reach you these days if they're interested in having you come in to do some training for some of their staff or their team members?
That would just be my email, ak@webconjunction.com.
Excellent. All right, DJ, let's hear it. Give us the update. I've heard rumors that, you know, you're working for the CIA, or you've gone deep undercover in some sort of mafia scenario, but tell us the story. What's going on?
in my 6 years of kind of working remotely there, I guess, 2007, 2008 through 2012, with Tasty Delight and all the franchise stuff we were doing, and then you know, of course, Plant Smoothie was an acquisition there. I was kind of part of that. But then January 1st, 2013, I just really started digging in here locally. And for a long time, my desire had been to start something here in my own where I lived. Because I literally, for the 6 years that I lived here and worked remotely, I didn't know how to drive from one end of the town to the other. And so I thought, well, I should probably do that. What I learned in all the marketing efforts we had done with franchising and all the local stuff was that, you know, your most effective marketing is going to be local. And so so I thought, well, I'm going to dig in here in my town I live in and start finding and telling awesome stories. That was my vision. And got some office space, and it all came together very quickly and providentially. And so started connecting with all kinds of different organizations and businesses to do just that. So a lot of content marketing. We do a lot of AdWords. We do Facebook stuff, campaigns, all kinds of different things. A lot of web development. We're getting into different, you know, photography and now video and creating content in all kinds of different ways. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we were doing some radio ads, and I've got relationships with radio stations and non-digital kind of stuff. So back into the traditional marketing, which I have not a whole lot of experience in. I saw a sign today I kind of had to laugh at. You know, it said, welcome to North Carolina. Please turn your clock back 50 years. And I live in a, you know, eastern North Carolina, it's kind of about 70,000 people, and it's not, you know, one of these, not the major metropolitan areas that I was hanging out in, you know, New York and San Francisco and all these other places. And so just trying to raise the bar here and trying to educate folks on some of the possibilities and connecting with customers and building platforms that allow, you know, these people to connect with their customers and to share their, you know, stories online. And so, you know, kind of crawling into this local rock, if you will, and doing some really cool things here locally and just hanging out. And so it's a lot of fun. I mean, I miss sometimes the travel. I just went to Chicago last week, like I said earlier. But, you know, I have no problem with obscurity. I really don't. I think it's, you know, just digging in locally and hopefully doing some things that are effective at the local level, but applying some of these tools and things I've learned over the years. And right now I'm enjoying doing some video. I told you we did our first TV commercial, I was actually surprised to get the check in the mail the other day when they paid me.
Well, you know, I think you've really touched on something there, too, with, you know, everybody talks about local social now, and you know, oh, well, social media has got to be, you know, performed at the local level, but, you know, you've been doing that for a long time in the franchising industry, and I think doing it locally in your town with those local businesses, there's got to be something gratifying about that you can actually move the needle for a small business in social media, whereas, you know, how are you really going to change results for, you know, some big global company, right?
Right, and the frustrating part of franchising for me was, you know, you want to empower the franchisees, you want to provide a position of leadership to do that kind of stuff, and unless you're there at the local level, at the corporate office, you're not able to create that content, you're not there. So how do you engage at that level, which is something, you know, I was, you know, tried to do from the corporate level, but, you know, so this is kind of where I landed.
Excellent. So what's next on your horizon? Are you going to continue to build up the local businesses in your current setting, or are you going to expand your radius a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think that, you know, what I learned was that, you know, well, when I first started, as I said, my vision was I'm going to find and tell awesome stories, right? And that'll be enough, right? Well, no, you have to advertise the tar out of it and pay to promote it now. The bad news is that, you know, Facebook's algorithm has changed drastically, but the good news is they have awesome advertiser tools now. You know, I've become, like I said, this now expert at Google AdWords and Facebook targeted ads, which is, you know, I'm kind of ashamed to say that, but I'd rather tell awesome stories. But that's not enough. There's so much noise out there. What's next? That's a good question. Still my relationship with Taste Delight Plants is still very strong, doing a lot of stuff with them. We just launched a big website and a mobile app and a mobile site for Plant Smoothie. So a lot of great growth there. Excited about that and still working very closely with them. And now actually working on, I won't get into the details, but still kind of plugged in to the franchising world. Don't travel nearly as much as I used to. So, and that's fine with me. So, I think there's some more video in the future. Except, you know, and that's what I really enjoy doing. But these other things that are paying the bills are kind of getting in the way of that.
That's just minor stuff.
Well, you know, that's a burden we all have, DJ. That work that pays the bills, as opposed to, you know, what you wanted to. But I think that's great, and you know, I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that want to kind of keep their eyes on you to see where you're going to lead the industry next. So, but I think video is definitely something that a lot of people, especially in franchising, are still. Do I want to say scared or maybe intimidated is a little bit more proper.
Yeah, here's the thing, and I don't mean to take up all the time here, but, you know, as a storyteller, you know, what you can do with video and the tools that are available today, it's just awesome. I'm really enjoying being able to capture things and then but tell it in a way where you can kind of really influence and captivate people with the story. So that's kind of where I'm at currently.
So are you using a lot of video with like Vine and the Instagram videos, things like that? Or you're just talking about video and YouTube, Animoto, those sites? Do you have any secret sites?
Well, I'm using the Adobe Creative Cloud Suite. So all the tools in that, Premiere is one that I'm really getting comfortable with now. And then, you know, I have a DSLR and all the equipment that I got and, you know, lights. I got a monopod now that I kind of run around with. And, you know, so there's the hardware, you know, the equipment and the gear, and then the software. My biggest announcement that I have to share with you is that in the last year, as an IT guy for probably 15 years, I switched to a Mac. And now I use that with Adobe Creative Cloud pretty extensively. So for what that's worth, that's what I use now.
So you've gone to the dark side. Excellent.
Yeah, I still have an Android phone.
Oh, you and AK.
Yeah.
No. AK's got the Android phone too. I never could get her over to an iPhone.
I won't cross over to the dark side.
She won't cross. But AK, I'm talking about crossing over to the dark side. You are one who always shied away from a camera, whether it's a video camera or selfies, anything like that. And I think you've realized now that. Yeah, you need to be in front of that camera a little bit more often with the business, because I do see more and more photos and videos of AK.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, CBJ. It's
against my will, but yeah. I mean, it's especially for the jewelry that I'm selling, I have to take jewelry selfies, which is brutal, but it's a must.
So she's crossed over to that dark side. She understands
the
use of
very dark side.
You know, and I think, BJ, you touched on this, and Jack, you said something about it, but the whole social, you know, when we started the in the social space for franchising or using it in business, it really was the philosophy that it's free. You know, yeah. Most of the social is free, no cost. So, AK, well, I'll ask you first, you know, what are your feelings in this whole, you know, pay-to-play? Where are you as far as using the social media tools for your clients? You know, how are you paying
yeah.
more?
Yep. Yes. I used, when I first started managing especially Facebook pages for my clients, I just, my contract involved them paying me to manage everything, and we didn't pay for anything unless there was a specific campaign and we wanted to do some paid Facebook advertising. But now, right from the start, when I'm, you know, working on negotiating a contract with a client, getting somebody on board, I feel very strongly in telling them that they need to have an additional budget set aside for Facebook posts, for boosted posts, for promoted posts, whatever the case may be, because it's really, really hard to grow a following now free on Facebook. You know, so even from one of my very new clients, they said, oh, we want to, you know, see, you know, how it goes without paying for anything first. And, you know, we used a lot of our own personal contacts, you know, friends and family, and, you know, to grow a following that way. We've kind of reached the plateau where it's really hard to go any further, you know, without paying for something. And getting, you know, people to see the posts is, you know, 1% to 2% of people who like your page see your posts is really crummy. So I have that conversation with my clients or my prospects right up the front now that, you know, you have to have an additional budget for that.
Excellent.
That's great. Yeah, I would just add to that, you know, hey, we're going to create some great content or whatever, but what is your distribution strategy, right? You've got to have that distribution strategy before you even – you know, produce something. You know, how are we going to distribute this, and what's the associated budget? Because there has to be one, like you said.
Yep. No longer free.
Yeah, it's not a social network as much as it is an advertising network. But that being said, it's a pretty cost effective advertising network if you want to compare it with some other things. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I shared with this group last week, you know, basically, you know, just that. If it's, you got to have the right expectations, you know, for these things. But if you engineer the campaigns in a way that they're measurable, you're going to know what your ROI is because of all the points of measurement and the advertiser tools, which are awesome. You know, it is very effective. It can be very effective if you know what you're doing to get your IT guy involved.
Good. Very good. Well, Jack, we're coming down to the last minute of the show. So, and right on cue, the operator whispers in my ear that we have 90 seconds left.
Next week, yes. we have a special guest next week from your GIFA travels, right?
Yep, Jimmy Weeks, web developer who's on his own now. I met him in person, IRL. I've been talking to him for many years, but got to meet him in person last week at Google. So, BJ and AK. AK, I know we'll see you on Twitter at AKStout18. You're still tweeting. BJ,
yep.
We're going to find you on Twitter, or where are we going to find you these days?
I'm still there. I still listen. I lurk on Facebook more than anything nowadays. But, no, I'm still there. Don't mistake silence for absence.
Okay. we'll poke you. Very good. Well, Jack Munson. I will talk to you next week, and it's been fun talking to you, BJ and AK, and welcome back to Social Geek Radio, and we'll just move into year number 5.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good night,
bye-bye.
Everybody.
All right.
Good night.
It's a very geeky show. The time you listen to. social geek, social geek, social geek, social geek.